Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money, because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and today we're going to be discussing how one starts investing in the stock market. So this is a question I get quite often from my readers, and I was very excited when this book landed on my desk. It's entitled The Wise Investor, The Beginner's Guide to Making Money on the Stock Exchange. And I'm even more excited to have its author, Moroko Modiba. I want to keep wanting to say Madiba, which of course is the wrong one. It's Modiba. To have you, Moroko, on the podcast. So thank you for joining us. And maybe let's just start with a bit of background as to who you are.
Good day, Maya. And thank you very much for the invite. As you've introduced me, my name is Moroko Modiba. I'm a stockbroker by profession, and I'm the founder of Fatima Capital, which is an authorized financial service provider, which deals with helping people to invest on the market. I'm also an author of Think Yourself Rich, which is a personal finance book, and also the Wise Investor, as you've just said.
And I'm really, as I said, thankful for you for writing this book, because, you know, you can't always answer people's questions in an article. You do sometimes need to have a book. So this is now the book. The book, you know, you write that many people see the stock market as the sort of exclusive club, and that only professionals understand it well enough to, you know, to have success. But actually, the truth is that investing is more accessible than ever. Now, on one hand, I completely agree with you. I mean, you're in stockbroking. I was actually many years ago. I worked for a stockbroker called Barnard Jacobs Millett, and I actually set up the trading desk for their retail clients, and which was really the start of you know, private individuals being able to invest for themselves. And since then, we've seen such democratization. You know, low cost platforms coming in like Easy Equities, but even the banks, FNB, Standard Bank, offering really low accessible platforms for retail investors. But this is my question to you. There's also this danger, and I've seen it through the years. I saw it when I was a BJM. People buy shares on hot tips. They lose money, and then they never want to return. Do you see sometimes that behavior?
You know, let's start here. One of the reasons why I wrote this book, number one, is to try and simplify investing on the stock market, right? And the second part is to demystify, you know, the stock market. What do I mean by that? You know, there's a lot of perception about the market. You know, people, number one, they think that if you want to invest on the stock market, number one, you need to have a lot of money. You need to have thousands and thousands of money to invest in the market, which is not true. As we both know, that you can start your investment journey with as little as 150 rand per month. You can invest directly into the market, you know, through investment products like ETFs and unit trust, right? The second myth that I get also is that you need to be very smart, right? You need to be, you know, the smartest guy or the smartest lady in the room to succeed in the market, which is also not true, right? Because you don't need an IQ of 180 to succeed in the market. All you need to do is understand basic fundamentals of investing and apply, you know, the tried and tested investment principle consistently, and you will succeed. So what normally happens is that people sometimes don't feel confident about themselves, right? So they will rely on people that they think they know better. So they will listen to hot tips to say, oh, no, this is the trend in the market. This is the hottest company in the market. Put your money there and you won't go wrong. And people follow those advices. And because they are following advices whereby there is no proper research, right? And eventually, this is just a trend, but a fad in the market. So when things turn sour, you know, they end up getting burned. And obviously, they will run away and not come back in the market, right? So I think those are the experiences that we get in the market.
And I think that's exactly why your book's important, why this discussion we're having is important, to show people how to do it in a way that's sustainable. So, and not a quick get rich quick scheme, right? Investing is not a get rich quick scheme. I mean, you even spoke about in the book, you talk about Capitec, and I often use Capitec as an example when I'm showing how a stock can do, right? I mean, this has, I don't know, 1,000 percentages of returns. It's made for investors. But if you look at the first 5 years of its listing from 2001 to 2007 about, it did nothing. And I think that's the point. People want, you know, returns immediately. They're not really prepared to hang on and wait for them. So let's take a step back. Okay, we're not going to give you the hot tip of the day. If that's why you were listening, that's not what's about to happen. But let's have a look at how you start dipping your toe into the market. Like, what's the starting block? Where would you, if somebody phoned you and said, I want to start, where do you start?
I think, you know, fortunately, nowadays, there are so many investment products that can cater for the low-income earners and the high-income earners. So for someone who doesn't have a lot of money, a lot of capital to start investing, I'll advise, you know, the passive, low-cost, low-fee, you know, exchange-traded funds. What is an exchange-traded fund? It's basically a fund that can be traded or buy and sold on the market like a share, right? And the great thing about, you know, exchange traded funds is that they are, number one, diversified, right? And number two is that they are affordable and they're easy to understand. So you can use those kind of products to build your foundation, right? You don't have to start complicating it. You know, build your foundation, invest in this low-cost passive investment and build your foundation. And that will give you time to learn about the market, right? So as you see, let's say, for instance, you invest in the JSE Top 40 ETF, right? So when you get your statement, you get to understand what types of companies that you are holding on your portfolio, right? You have the MTNs. You have the ShopRite, you have the Woolies, and you can start by learning those companies, right? And when your knowledge improves, then that's when maybe you can think of investing outside the country, right? Looking at the US, looking at Europe, looking at Japan or China. The ETFs will give you the access to invest in those markets as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, investing in what we call the core investment strategy, which is using the ETFs to build your foundation, is a sound and solid strategy that a novice can start with.
And I think the point that you're making is you can buy one share, one ETF share, a single share, and you have exposure to all of the shares that it tracks. So basically, exchange traded fund will track a basket of shares. So as you said, the top 40, it'll be the largest 40 companies on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, those big names that we're very, very familiar with. And of course, as you said, the great game changer has been now that you can buy exchange traded funds for 150 bucks, even 50 Rand, I think Satrix has got them for. That even gives you exposure to the global index. I think the MSCI, which is a world index, what, about 1,600 shares? Yes. 1,600 companies through buying, you know, with 50 Rand or 150 bucks. So I think that for me has been one of the biggest innovations around investing, actually, has been what I suppose unit trusts to an extent did it, because unit trust fund managers, you know, invest in a wide basket of shares as well. But, you know, for somebody who wants to open up a stock market account and actually buy and have with just a small amount of money, such wide exposure, those exchange traded funds are quite phenomenal. And in your book, you also speak about rand cost averaging. And of course, I love rand cost averaging. I think it's one of the reasons you should invest monthly. It takes away all the stress of saying, I've got 100,000 rand, what do I do with it? It's like, oh, I've got 500 rand a month. This is easy. So maybe just unpack rand cost averaging.
Okay, the rand cost averaging, basically, it starts from the fact that it's impossible to predict the market. No one knows where the market is going to go in the next hour, tomorrow, next week, or next year, right? So instead of trying to time the market, what you do is you buy consistently on a monthly basis through debit orders, right? What it will do is that you will benefit when the market is going up and when it's going down. So when the market is going down, what's going to happen is you are going to buy shares when they're getting lower and lower and lower. So basically, you're buying shares when they're getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And now when the market turns and start going up, those shares that you bought at the lower, now they'll start going up in value. And in that process, when the market is still going up, you'll still find bargains, right? You'll still get, you know, shares that are trading at, you know, good prices, right? So you're not trying to time the market. You're trying to buy it, you know, when it's going up and when it's going down. And in the long run, the cost average, you know, will put you on top. Mm. Because at the end of the day, you know, when the market is up, you'll find that you bought a lot of shares when the market was cheap. When it's up, those shares are valuable. So the rent cost averaging is a great strategy, right? For people who don't have a lot of capital, for instance, right? Who can invest through debit orders. Mm. So that's one of the best strategies.
And also for me, what rent cost averaging does is it kind of counters that fear greed factor that us as humans have. So when the markets are running and they're high and everyone's hearing about them, that's when they want to buy. They want to buy when it's expensive. And then when the markets crash, which they've been doing this year so far, everyone's like, ooh, I don't want to invest. Without realizing, I always say it's a little bit like going shoe shopping. You know, if you go and the shoes are on sale, we tend to buy more of them, right? So it's the same with the stock market. Exactly that. And for me, you know, my debit orders go off every month. I've got exchange traded funds for myself, for my children. They go off every month. I don't even look at them. I just leave them. And when the market's crashing away, I'm thinking, oh, fabulous. I'm buying some more shares. I'm buying more exchange traded funds at a cheaper price. Keep going. And it's really good. And it's just, you don't have to think about it. But now that's okay for many people. They don't, you know, they can just, now they know they're going to go and find out about exchange traded funds. They can go find out about places like Satrix offer them, Easy Equities offers them, you know, Signia, CoreShares. I'm just giving some names because people will be asking. But now you decide, you know what? I actually like, I want to know more. I find this fascinating. I've watched Billions and I want to be a stockbroker, but now I want to invest in individual shares. I want to, you know, develop this sort of, and I think you talk about it as a satellite investment strategy. I want to add to this. How do you go about deciding and you know, where to start when you want to buy individual shares now?
So, now it's a step further, right? So now let's say you have started with the core investment strategy where you've built the foundation through your ETFs, right? And now you're deciding, okay, let me start to look for individual companies to add a little bit of alpha or returns to my portfolio. So now what you do is you don't have to complicate it. Number one, look at places around you. You know, you can start looking at, you know, the service providers that you prefer. This can be the retailers, right? If you prefer buying at Woolies and you like their products and their service and everything, you can start looking at Woolies, right? Your telephone service providers. You know, so you look at companies that you prefer on a personal basis, and then you can start your research there, right? And also you don't have to, you know, complicate it. Look for businesses that you understand, you know, business that you understand that, you know, you can easily, you know, get your mind around, you know, as we were talking about, you know, ShopRite. A lot of people love ShopRite, you know, they love their products, their brand is associated with affordability. And when you go to their stores, they are fully packed. And the perception will be that this is a great company, this is quality business. But the share price, is it trading below the value of the company? I think this is where the work begins. This is where you need to look at the financial statements and start analyzing, you know, where the company is sitting financially and relative to the share price, right? So after doing that homework, I think you'll suddenly figure out whether the share price is trading below the value.
And you mentioned ShopRite because you and I were having a conversation earlier about my mother who phoned me once and said, you know, Maya, the Checkers and ShopRite in my area is just doing so well. People are queuing. I think this is a good business. And she actually bought shares in it and she did quite well out of it at that time. But I think that's the point, is that if something's doing well, it may already be priced in. There may be a lot of people have already bought in, but that's okay. To me also, you know, quality companies, they're always going to be quality companies that are very seldom at a discount, right? So how do you know that you're buying into a quality company? It'll always be, you know, fairly valued because it's quality, but that you're not overpaying. Do you think that's almost like a market sort of thing? Like, is the overall market expensive at the moment? How do you decide when you want to buy into a quality company?
I think this is where you need to fold your sleeves and get to work, right? Number one, I think you're going to have to start understanding what the company does, right? Their products and their services, whether the company has a competitive advantage, right? If the company has a competitive advantage and is placed within a growing industry, then, you know, there's something to look at there, right? Number two, you look at the people who are running the company, right? The leadership, the management, right? So the leadership will as long as you look at the track record, you know, their capabilities, you know, like they're saying that sometimes you need to back the jockey and not the horse, because a good jockey can win with any type of horses, right? So that's very important to look at, you know, the leadership. The last part is the share price. Is it trading at a discount? This is where you have to go to the financial statements and look at the income statement. Is the company profitable, right? Is it operating efficiently and effectively, right? And are they growing their sales annually? How much are they growing their sales? Are they reducing their costs, right? What is the profit that, you know, that is or the bottom line, right? And after that, you look at the dividends. You know, what do they do with the retained earnings, right? Do they reinvest it or do they give out some of it to the shareholders? Because when you invest in the market, you must always remember that you make money through share price appreciation, and you make money through dividends. So the dividend that the company pays is also important. That's something that you need to look at, right? And then obviously you have to look at the balance sheet. You know, is the company, you know, not overly leveraged or overly indebted? Because a company that is overly indebted, you know, it runs a risk where if interest rate goes up, you know, they'll struggle to service their debt. Right, so that will create a lot of problem for them, or challenges for them. So these are some of the things that you're gonna have to look at on financial statement to arrive at an informed decision that, you know, the share price is offering value, you know, for you as an investor.
And I think also, you know, if you've done all that homework and you know that the company's operating well, when you see a market pullback like we're seeing this year, and the markets are down quite significantly this year, that hasn't affected ShopRite or Checkers' business. They're still selling, they're still doing their business. And this is all it does is create a buying opportunity. So I think that's also, you know, you can sit there with your kind of preferred shares and wait for something like we're experiencing now. Rather than feeling upset about it, be excited and say, wow, this is the opportunity to get into a quality company. So maybe those are also some of the ways. But I wanted to, you know, you spoke a lot about the information that you need to have to make a decision. What is the benefit then of being with a full stockbroking service? So this is an interesting one. You know, you've got the very discounted stockbrokers, and Easy Equity would be a very good example. But then you could go and have a full-blown brokerage with yourselves, I imagine, or F&B or whatever, you could go, and then you get access to research. How important is that? Is it really worth paying for? And what point is it worth paying for?
No, of course. No, absolutely. Absolutely. The thing is, a lot of people, they don't have the time, to really do the work. They are interested, but, because they have other careers, they don't have, enough time and effort to put behind looking for bargains in the market, right? Even when you go online, there's a lot of information that is sitting there. How do you filter that information and end up arriving at an informed decision? So if you don't have the time to do all that work, I think it's important, to find someone who can take you by the hand and show you, the ropes, right? So that's why it's important that if you can get into a partnership, or if you can open an account at a place whereby, you can be given research, you can be guided, how to go about investing, I think it is worth it. Mm. It is sometimes worth it.
And what if you were advising someone who wanted to now start? So we've spoken about how easy it is to get access, literally 50 Rand, 150 Rand a month. You can go into exchange traded funds, have exposure. You don't need to do more than that. But if you're now wanting to build it up, your own share portfolio, and you want to have access to research, you want to do it properly, what do you think the minimum amount is to kind of have to place with the stockbroker? To make it make sense, because obviously the trading fees are higher, there's admin fees to cover that research cost.
Sure, that one is a tough question, right? It's a tough question because number one, we don't want people to lose confidence, because with 10,000 you can still invest in the market, but I think eventually you want to be at their position whereby, you can buy at least, four or five stocks at a go, right? And I think when we talk about five stocks at a go and not incur a lot of fees, I think maybe 50,000 and above, if you want to go directly into the market, but you don't have to, start, with five. You don't have to. You can start with one or two shares, but as we have discussed right now, the best way to go about it is to build the foundation first. Because if you just jump into a traditional stockbroker and want to build your portfolio there, one or two companies are not enough. It means your portfolio is not diversified. If anything happens to those two companies, you're going to suffer some serious, setbacks, right? So when you start with the core, your portfolio is already diversified, right? So even if you buy two stocks, even if those two stocks don't do well, but your overall portfolio through diversification is still protected, right? So that's the advice. But if you have a huge lump sum like 100,000 and more, then it makes more sense, to go and invest directly into the market through a stockbroker, because then you can pick and choose, companies, diversify your portfolio and protect yourself, for any unforeseen, circumstances in the future.
I mean, we're always trying to find the one company that's going to do the Capitec or make an absolute fortune, but many either you can also buy the ones that do the opposite. So that's the problem. And any sort of to end off, any do's or don'ts you want to share with the listeners? Like kind of what are the, like, avoid these at all costs kind of?
I think, like I was saying, the aim of the book is to simplify the market, right? So now, I'm not coming with anything new. I'm just saying, yes, the globalization is real. Countries are interdependent right now. The global market, right now is on the palm of our hands, through our phones, our tablets and laptops. So, but the investment principle that stood the test of time, they're still relevant. For instance, It's not about time in the market. It's about time in the market. That's still applicable regardless of any changes, right? Be fearful when others are greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful, right? So that's still applicable, right? And don't put all your eggs in one basket. Those are the principles that we all know, right? It's about knowing them and applying them consistently, you know, with a lot of discipline and a lot of patience. You will definitely succeed.
Fantastic. And where can our listeners get your book from?
My book is available. You can find it exclusive books. You can Take a Lot, Loot, Wordsworth, and other, you know, bookshops. I think you can, you can find it almost everywhere where they sell books.
Great. Well, it's called The Wise Investor, The Beginner's Guide to Making Money on the Stock Market. So absolutely, if you're interested, I would suggest you read the book. So every time somebody emails me now and says, how can I start investing? I'm going to tell them they can start by investing in the book.
Absolutely, Maya. Absolutely.